Welcome to Community Conversations with State Attorney Bain, your talk show for insights on the criminal justice system, community issues, and public safety in Orange and Osceola counties. Join State Attorney Andrew Bain as he dives into the issues that matter most to you, keeping it real every step of the way.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Community Conversations with State Attorney Andrew Bain. That is me. I am the state attorney for the 9th Judicial Circuit, covering both Orange and Osceola County. And so we are, you know, at some of the best part of the times of the year for me, you know, and some people, I know it's a hard time. We're going to be with Thanksgiving next week. And we're going to ride it all the way to the beginning of Advent season, all the way into Christmas, which is one of my favorite times of the year. It always brings new clarity, new positions as to where we should be taking. Also brings up new opportunities that we are ready to present themselves for the next year. And so we have begun that process both internally in the office and as well as dealing with things, you know, personally as well. So we have to, you know, things for fresh starts, new beginnings. You know, things to try an opportunity to make a change, opportunity to grow. And that's kind of where we want to be as a community. So it was always super exciting to be with you all and hearing from sometimes all the people in the sound of my voice about what's going on out there in our community. So we have been doing a lot of things been happening. We've been taking care of business in the courtroom. We've had a few brand new homicide convictions for some very dangerous people. And our violent crimes unit pulled up another victory for the good guys, for the community. And someone that had just been released from prison less than a year before they tried to commit another homicide, an attempted murder. And so that person is a very violent person. They are very considered what we call a prison release reoffender. And in that process of being a prison release reoffender, and that basically means that you were in prison for a crime. And then within 3 years of you being released from prison, you committed a violent crime, usually a very violent felony. And this one involved a firearm on an attempted second degree murder case with that firearm. And when you are prison release reoffender classification, the judge is mandatory required to send you to prison for life. And so it's a very serious thing that we have to deal with. And it's something that is very important tool that we have to, again, separate the good guys from the bad guys. And that's my main job that I'm in charge of, making sure that we are able to do it on an everyday basis. It's also the time on a lighter note that we get to celebrate here where I am right now is in Osceola County. While I sit in the courthouse in our office on the third floor, we get to celebrate coming together and being thankful for all the things that have been done over our during this year. And so I'm the guy that brings the mac and cheese every year. So I did that again this year to show off my consistent chef skills every single year. And that's what I had done prior to me becoming a judge when I was assistant state attorney the first time. And it's been a great honor to have continued to do that over the last two Thanksgivings for my Osceola County office. And I do share the recipe just in case you run into me. I'm not one of the people that hoard my recipes. And so it's been a great time today and celebrating what's going on here for Osceola County as well, where we had another conviction, a win for the good guys in a homicide case where an ex-husband murdered his ex-wife and left her in the front yard of her home. And so with some great brave witnesses and some great investigation by our law enforcement partners, we're able to bring some justice to that victim and making sure that person, that her ex-husband, was going to be held accountable for that. And he is now also serving a life sentence for that murder. And so that is, you know, part of what we do. It's part of some of the harsh things that we have to come about and make sure. But on a lighter note, last week we got an opportunity to be with the seniors in Orlando. They had a big Orlando symposium. I was so happy to be a part of that symposium with our another criminal justice partner with the FBI. So that's the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They came out, did a great presentation with those things related to elder fraud, some of the new technology that's being used now to defraud elders, where it talks about AI and artificial intelligence being used to defraud our elderly population. And it's also been used to defraud a lot of people, but they've been targeting our elderly population very hard. It's a lot of these overseas partners that, like, people we have in our part of our network, especially online, they've gotten really advanced in how they create some of these deep fake, AI related messaging and speaking from people. They'll go so far as finding videos of yourself, of people that are related to you on social media or friends of yours. They'll use those videos to create voice cover-ups or deep fakes. And they call people and they'll feel frantic. You know, I need help. You know, I need money. Please send me money. Please, you know, help me. I'm stuck in some foreign place, or I'm in jail, or, you know, have some of these dire straight things. I need you to send me money right away. And unfortunately, a lot of our elderly population fall for these deep fakes of using artificial voices to get them to do that. So a great tool we learned last week, if somebody calls you in that kind of deep, frantic methodology, you know, thinking it's your son, your grandson, your mom, your dad, a child, you know what you do? You say, hey, give me a minute, let me call you right back. So hang up the phone and pick up the phone again and actually call the person that you think is calling you. Confirm that they are the person that, you know, that's what's going on, because we have had several, sometimes locally here and in our larger community, people susceptible to those types of crimes. And so that's something we learned last week from the FBI in our symposium that we did with the city of Orlando. They did a great job hosting. I got to see a lot of old faces. And so it was really like not old people, but old faces of friends that I've known. But because I was like, all my seniors from the city of Orlando are all youthful and great and amazing, and they do such incredible work still in their later years, the golden years of their life. And I'm thankful for having them as a part of what we do on an everyday basis. And so. On another positive note, today was a great day. I want to bring on a guest. There's a principal of Positive Pathways Transition Center, and he'll talk a little bit about what that is and what that means in Orange County. But you know that I'm a big literacy guy. So anybody that's heard me talk on this show or heard me speak anywhere, at some point I want to talk about the importance of literacy. And I want to get the statistics. Just one more time, just so people don't believe me, don't understand. There's a new study from Rollins College that backs up everything I say, but we'll just stick with the basic statistics that 3 out of 5 people incarcerated right now in the United States are illiterate. 85%, I'm going to tell you that the number is higher. That number from 85% is from right before COVID happened, somewhere in 2017. I'm telling you right now, that number is much higher after COVID. 85% of the kids that are in my juvenile justice system are functionally illiterate or outright illiterate. And so it is a huge problem. It leads kids down a road that's connected to their mental health, to their well-being, that, you know, leads them into my courtrooms. And it leads them into trouble later on in life because they cannot communicate and they cannot, they cannot read. And so it is, you know, an old adage, something that we've been talking about in our community since my great grandmother was alive, working in the fields in South Florida. it is something that we must continue to talk about, continue to address. And one of the things that I have done is a Turning Pages literacy, juvenile literacy program to help address those issues. And we are going to talk to my new good friend, Principal Bryant from Positive Pathways. And, you know, I told him he's wearing his offensive lanyard of Florida Gators. And so, you know, we're the only Canes fans around here. So we'll have to get him helping with his dress code later on. But welcome, Principal Bryant, to the show.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. I'm honored and excited to be here on your show today.
Yes, sir. All right. So talk to the people that don't know. A lot of people should be, because it's under 98.5. This is in their radius of their airways. Where Positive Pathways is, and what is Positive Pathway Transition Center?
We are located in Rosemont area. We are located actually on OBT, and we are an alternative school. We are kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade. And any student who has committed a level four, and what a level four is something expellable at a school. And basically what a kid has done something to that extent, they basically go for expulsion. And then that expulsion is they send those students here. Those students can be here from, depending on what they did, they'll be here from 45, 90, or 180 days. Some students stay, and if they come from where you're located, Osceola County, they give them up to 2 years. And what they do is whatever they receive from the county, we warrant that here, and we'll warrant that, and we'll do that here for those students. So students are given exit days, and then they stay here as long as they have to. Then once they get their exit days, then they go from there. Any of the students that we receive here, and this is something that we have partnered with you about, we try to get them better than we receive them. So we want them reading at a higher level. We want them excelling at a higher level. A lot of our students read 2 to 3 grade levels below any kind of reading level. And what we try to do is put in different types of programs to have them to excel to that. I have an outstanding staff that we are fully hired. And with your help that you've promoted with that, also with the literacy part of that, we've actually had the program here, that Turning Points, that were actually geared towards helping our students who have probation, felonies, or things like that. So we've geared a program for that. So that is Positive Pathways in a nutshell. We haven't gotten the best press ever, so we're excited about that. But we are, as you saw today, you came in, you see what we do. Our kids are excited to be here. They feel like they belong. They come in, they do what they have to do. We set them off, and we set them out to the world again, hopefully better.
So break down for the people that are not in the OCPS school system. So there, you guys have a disciplinary matrix, right, about how kids can get in trouble in school. So what kind of gets you to a level four? So, like, you know, level one is like, you know, disruption.
Yeah, level one is they ask you to sit down and you don't sit. Level two, three, you're being disrespectful. Things like that get you not following the student code of conduct. Level four is you've stepped it up. You're like, listen, I'm going to step my game up. I'm going to bring something I'm not supposed to bring. I may bring a vape or something that I'm not supposed to bring at campus. We also receive felon kids. So basically kids who are up for drug charges or gun charges, we will receive those too. But for the most part, our kids have made a mistake. They've gone in, they pulled the fire alarm. They've broke on campus, they broke a window, they did something that they're disrespectful. Anything that will get you fully excluded are those type of things. You may have done something to a staff member or something to a student, but anything like that gets you for a full expendable, meaning that you'll be fully expelled. And then we'll have a meeting, and the district will determine that those students will be placed here. And what we try to do here is any students we're getting, I try to know all my kids coming in, all my kids leaving, is I try to let them know, and any kid will tell you that has been here. Come in, do what you have to do. I want to make you better. do your time, do what you have to do. And then at that you exit, please do not come back. And you have a good day. And thank you for doing that. And we try to get out of our students here in Orange County a number. I try to get to know my kids. And those are the type of things and what we deal with on a daily basis.
Right. And, you know, so I think one of the things that I've dealt with and I can continually talk about is some of the kids that I end up having to file as charged adults. The overwhelming like commonality, especially amongst them, are their grades and their test scores. You know, they may be different from different areas, different parts of the city, the county, you know, the circuit, but overwhelmingly, they all either have not been in school for a few years. They are all readers somewhere between second and fourth grade. And a lot of them are, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old students. And so kind of, how does that happen? I mean, I talk to educators, like, how does this happen to these kids? And I know we want to help them. So, you know, kind of talk to the parents about what things they should be looking out for and, what's available to them when that is happening.
So the biggest thing I see that's happening is this. You can't start raising your child at 14 years old, 12 years old. You can't go in and say, hey, I'm going to get there. I'm going to look at this. No, it's too late. So what you have to do is start at the bottom. And you start at kindergarten first and seeing, are they having problems? Are they having deficiencies? Are they having things that are slowing them down? Then at that point, you've got to go in for that extra tutoring. You have to go in for that extra summer school. You got to go in for that extra help that is being there. And then being a parent that is caring and knowing what you're looking for. Anytime your student is starting to read below grade level, you got to ask the teacher, what can I do? What can I do to help? What can I do to do that? And that can't happen when they're in middle school. That has to happen when they're in elementary school. Then the next thing is you ask the question, how does this happen? How does this go on? It goes on and it happens because as a whole, we're not getting involved in our child and raising the whole child to basically say, hey, listen, you have a problem with reading. What can we do? Can we go into the school? What can I meet with? How do I get my kid doing that? And the biggest thing that I've noticed that we don't do is we don't read. We don't read together. We don't read at home. You don't read. And you're not going to go to a 7.5 hour day and think that we're going to solve the problem in that time. You have to go after school, before school, doing that, and make it as an important part of what you have. Because any kid that's going to be retained one time, some of our kids are retained twice, then we get into the fact of what is their success rate for graduation. And it's very low. It's less than 30%. So what we have to do as a whole is look at the whole child. And what I do here as my part of my whole is this. I get the kids that are below grade level. I break it down and chuck it down into small bits to be able to help them to achieve something. And that's what we have to do as a whole. And the education part of it is what can we do as a whole to be able to teach the whole child and not get them too late. We have to start early and we have to get them from elementary all the way up to middle and high school.
All right. And so I started, I will tell the story of how we met. Right. And if you could let me know if I got it accurately done. So last semester in the spring, we actually launched our program, Turning Pages, and yes, we did five kids, AMI kids, and then AMI kids is an alternative school at that time, but they lost their kind of school portion of what they were doing. And so that left us with trying to find a new home. And I was like, well, let's try Positive Pathways because, you know, I've been in done the juvenile justice program before when I was a younger prosecutor. And I was like, hey, let's see, just check it out. So I had a meeting with Dr. Velasquez and with Scott Howlett. And, you know, so I was telling her about what's going on, what we need. And she's like, yes, you know, we'll get Professor, they got a Principal Bryant. And we'll have a meeting with him and, you know, bring the whole thing together. And then so I set up a virtual meeting this summer with Principal Bryant and my whole team, including Carrie, who's been on this show from UCF, and her staff. And I'm not sure Dr. Velasquez was on that call.
So
Principal Bryant's big boss is on the call with us, and he's looking at, like, at the screen real deep into the screen. And I was like, this guy is panicking right now. And so he was not sure what we were going to do, but you know, you knew we were going to do it. And it was an interesting call, but I'm glad that he eventually said yes. I think maybe forced him to say yes, to say yes to us coming on and doing the program at Positive Pathways. And so my focus obviously always on the kids that are just as affected, we're on probation or some other post-commitment release. And so Principal Bryant, talk about like how we went from apprehension to buy-in. So tell people about how.
I'm sitting at a training and my phone's dinging, ding, ding. And I'm getting all these meeting requests. And I'm like, my boss, the big boss, this boss, that boss. And I'm sitting here like, what? So I'm calling as I'm getting requests. And I'm like, am I in trouble? What did I do? And they're like, no, it's a program that we want to talk to you about. And we think it's going to be really good for your kids. So I'm like, okay. So I start looking it up. And when I start looking it up, I see like, oh, this is going to be okay. Cool. We met. We talked. I was sold. I was like, okay, let's try this. Because at the end of the day, this program was for our students who were 3, 4, 5, 6 grade levels behind, and they were low kids, and they were having issues with the criminal justice, and they were just, it was like, okay. So when the program started, I always will talk about this kid. We had a senior, 17, 18 year old senior, and he was an ESC student, meaning he had special needs. But he had been locked up, out of locked up, then locked up. And he was reading on the first grade, second grade level. And I watched him in the program. And I watched him excel in the program. And this is a student who basically was spelling his name wrong. And I've watched him be a part of this and look forward to coming to school and go through the 12-week program and actually get better. And it was a turning point for me, because other people's coming in and seeing him work and seeing how awesome they did with the program. And then because they did so awesome with the program, it took off for me, because I basically am doing it, asked again of like, hey, today was the last day. Can we do it again in the spring? And they're coming in the spring. Not only are they doing it in the spring, I've already started my wheels running for me to go ahead and do my own program, exactly what they're doing here, in the fall. So this program is taking off and will be basically a thumbprint of what they did when they came in the fall. And I'm gonna carry it on because it's that important. And everybody who has been a part of it, the kids have been a part of it, have asked me, hey, I have a friend. Can I bring my friend along? Hey, I have this person. Can this person come along? Because they see the benefit of it. And you see kids going in there reading, and kids are comfortable to read because they get in the classroom, they don't want to read, and they act out because they read below. So to be able to see the impact and the positivity of what has happened has been outstanding. And I'm just thankful. And yes, I'm not gonna lie. When the first came in, I had to thank you. I was, what? I'm not doing that. But to open my eyes in the way that it has. And another thing that I'm doing with it also is I have a mentorship program that's coming in, and I'm going to use the same program that we're doing for the mentorship. Is something that I'm taking from the Turning Points program that I'm going to use there also. So it's taken off here, and it's going to strive, and I'm excited about it. I've told my bosses, and I've told the big bosses of the bosses, we will continue to do that program here. So yes, I thank you for that.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, I think that it's I guess it's hard to describe to people. Well, I find it hard to describe to people, especially people that have, you know, especially educated people, I call them. Like, yes. So it's hard to describe it to educated people. Like, so people that, you know, they did well in school and everything was, they may not have some struggles. Like, you know, everybody struggled with like organic chemistry or something like that. And, you know, but then when like you're dealing with somebody that has not had that success before and trying and giving them that, you know, that win, you know, giving them that win in school, how big that is. Like, so I don't know, like, so I talk about it a lot. So I like to hear other people's version of that, like giving those students that first win and kind of where that sends that student afterwards.
Absolutely. And you're talking about kids who have never had that. And to see them get it and it clicks for them is amazing on their level. And I'm talking on that third, fourth grade level where they're 16, 17, and they get it on that level. And they're like, wow, I get it. And they want to do it more. And they want to read more. And they want to learn more. So it's been outstanding. Because honestly, I've gotten out of the way because I thought the kids would push back. On Monday, my person's coming. I'm going to be absent. Or, Ms. Brian, I don't want to go. But they line up and they're waiting. And it's a 2.5 hour program of just straight up reading. And these kids are waiting to get in the door because they want to do it. And it's been that successful. So to have that again has been a win for these kids is just huge. And these kids' faces today, you know, for them to hold the certificate over their face because they're embarrassed because they've never been up front. They've never had that. So we had to show them of like, no, we got to lower it a little bit. We got to take your picture. Now you get it and you go from there. So to be able to have all that was outstanding and amazing today. So I can't wait to do it again in the spring. And
I'll do it.
So yes, I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's one of the biggest things I always wanted to do. It's actually something I learned from my time. I didn't know how important that was. So for me, I was always successful with athletics. So I wasn't really winning in school like a lot all the time. But when it came to athletics, I was successful. So like I got the, you know, the trophies and the celebrations and things like that. But I really didn't realize how important that was. So I started doing problem solving courts and being the prosecutor in those types of courtrooms. Where people are dealing with addiction and other, you know, mental health, and doing graduations for those, and like, and the little small wins that you celebrate in the middle, like you have it. So you, like, you know, you've been sober all month, like, you know, you, hey, we're gonna clap. That's a win, you know, like celebrating those wins and those small wins and encouraging those wins. Is something I always, like, you know, I knew that was gonna have to be a part of the program. So. Something that I really look forward to continuing on and continuing to celebrate those wins with those students and make sure that, you know, they're going to be successful. Because, you know, like I said, like, well, I was talking to the founder of 8 Ways, which is another great program locally here, not too far actually from where you are. They operate on the west side of the county mostly, they have some new studies from Rollins, and I'm like, where, like, yes, your literacy rates are connected to your mental health and to your success and, you know, the dealing with trauma and all types of things like that. Your ability to communicate and read are essentially tied to those two things. And I'm looking forward actually to our one student that we had that had that little nervous trauma tick, and, you know, giving him some confidence. And seeing where we can grow him and continue to get him a win later on as the program continues. And I'm looking forward to see how that yes. goes for him.
Yes, yes. And so, I am too. I did put my arm around him and just break it down to him because it was a kid. He has some nervous tics, and when he has a nervous tic, he laughs out. And we're working through that. So, so me, I put my arm around him. I was like, I know you're nervous today. We're going to work on that. We remind it. And then today they pulled him and he worked again with the reading group, and they're working through small steps with him also.
Yeah.
To get him. He's going through a lot. He is going. He does have a a hard story. But again, those girls and the ladies, the director that's working with Carrie, that's working with him, they understand that. And she's the one that brought him in today. And when she did it, I was like, are you sure? And she's like, yes. And then afterwards, I was like, I smiled at her. She's like, yep, I got it. I got it. So it was something that was very, trying for all of us today, but we got through it. We got through it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be part of it. I mean, obviously, these kids are always going to have, they're going to be PACES things that we got to overcome. Average childhoods on the ACEs things that we got to overcome with these kids and give them the tools to overcome those things. And so that's really where we're going to go. And talk about some mentorship. A new good friend, Lilla, she's always thought we'd always forget about you. Yeah, you're still on mute. There we go. Oh,
hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. So tell everybody who you are. Introduce yourself to Principal Brian, and tell them what
you're doing. My name is Natalie Vial, and I work in a school setting. I've been doing mentorship for over 8 to 9 years, ever since I got started. But I got started in that sector because, you know, I went through mentorship my whole life, you know, growing up. So that's how I got started in that.
Right. The name of your program, so we can get Principal Brian can call you.
Okay, so it is Diva Girls, and the acronym is acronym. So it's Divinely Inspired, Victoriously Appointed. And a part of that part is a Starlets mentorship, where that's more dance-based. I introduce the girls to ballet. I introduce the girls to different forms of dance. But yes, so I have both of those programs together.
See, we bring solutions, Principal Brian. That's what I do.
Okay.
So, but you guys are also work with MBK?
Yes, that's the initiative. So My Sister's Keeper is underneath. So Diva Girls and Starlets are underneath the My Sister's Keeper umbrella, and then the My Brother's Keeper, I just keep it as MBK. And so the kids are they love it. And it's funny because the group of kids that I bring together, you would have never imagined. And a lot of times I hear back from deans that, you know what, this kid started off a certain way. Now they're getting better. And so now, you know, the kids start to hold themselves accountable. They hold each other accountable. So I love it.
Yeah. So we have My Brother's Keeper, Principal Bryant, which I think they operate most mainly in the city of Orlando, but I think they do have some outreach and some things like that. But yeah, this is the female side of it. I get to talk to these people very much because they be hiding from me. So I know my girls need help, and I'm a girl dad.
Okay.
So everybody knows, like, I got two baby girls. You know, they're more famous than I am. They provide the importance of female mentorship. So we're gonna talk to Mr. Vu. Ms. Vu, hey, last name, we'll say one time for last name.
Vial.
Miss Vial. All right, Miss Vial. All right, so Principal Brian, we're going to get him off of there. And we're going to talk to Principal Brian a little bit. We'll let him go, and we're going to definitely connect you guys on an email after we're done here to make sure that he has what you need and what's going on. So let's talk of me. So we always hear about boys. I spent all my whole time, all day, talking about the little knucklehead boys. that's what I do all the time. That's what they want to talk about. But then I always try to get people to understand that there are going to be some, there's a lot of the girls that need help too, right? Like,
yes, I agree.
That, you know, they don't know how to do, you know, simple feminine things that, you know, they should have learned. And there's like this whole gap shopping for bras and all the things that daddies don't want to be involved in. And so, talk to the people about the importance of female mentorship. Because, I mean, we always think about the boys when we talk about crime and things like that. Talk to us about the importance of female mentorship and how that connects with everything we do here locally.
It's extremely important, honestly. And for my ladies, so a lot of these girls come from homes where it's either single family or it's two parent, but I can't even tell you how many girls don't know like the simple feminine hygiene things. So, you know, we've gotten a big donation from the Delta organization who donate a bunch of sanitary napkins for the girls. And so I create these little bags for the girls. And so that we go through those things. We've created an etiquette class that they go through. These girls are going through a rough patch right now because I think what social media is identifying to be what is popular and these things. And so they get in between that. And so, you know, either they're trying to be like that or they're sad that they don't have the attention from this. So we deal with a lot of different real life issues. And so it's a lot of things that come up that you never even think about. The other day we talked about girl drama and what goes on in a school setting and how do you deal with that? And so it was funny to get a lot of perspectives because with them, you know, I give them grace because I'm like, you know, I was a kid once, but let's work through this. Cause I know the first thing you're not going to say is, oh, let me talk about my coping strategies, but let's talk about, okay, is it worth it? You know? So yeah. I think my counseling background helps it a lot because, you know, they are free to open up and they know that once in this setting, when they talk, it stays in the room and they just open and we talk and we laugh, we eat. And it's funny because I've been doing this for 9 years and my first set of girls are now 20 and they come and they visit me and it's like, you know, makes me feel old, but you know, it's
No, I get it. I mean, you know, so this is the backseat of my car every day. So, you know, taking my kids to school or picking them up from school or after school, you know, this person. And I'm like, boy, like, my kids go to a small school. So I'm like, well, you don't have any options, my daughter. You have to find a better way to make this work.
Right, y'all gotta be okay.
Y'all gotta be okay because, you know, they're gonna be in love and fall out of love, you know, I guess, you know, over the course of the year. I guess that's how it is. Like, you know, so they'll just cycle, cycle back around at some point.
Right.
Yeah. But we'll talk about, you know, so one of the other programs I deal with a lot with is the Pace Center for Girls and other related traumas and things like that they're different. Some of the things are the same for like a lot of girls. So I'll tell you like that. Well, a lot of like talking about children, for instance.
Right.
I'm worried about safety and security and you know, food and different those kind of things like that. But something I don't know about you, but I realized that like a lot of the girls I end up interacting with and dealing with, there's always this level of worried about being abused in some kind of way. And so, like, all of you experience the same thing in kind of work that you're doing, but that's kind of I've experienced that like quite a bit when I'm out, especially mentoring or speaking or doing forums and things like that. So, is there a difference there? Like, what do you think about how that works?
I think that you really hit it on the nail because a lot of times we think of these kids and we're like, you're a kid. You don't have anything that you should be worried about. There's no issues that you're really dealing with at this time. You know, unless you get bills, you're not really stressed. But these kids really do go through things. And I see that it's a cycle a lot of times. Right. So I see that there are kids that these girls, you know, young age are like in relationships, quote unquote, and then, you know, they don't realize what's toxic. They don't realize what emotional abuse could be. They don't realize different little things because they haven't really gotten that talk to communicate, to really know like this is the right way to be treated or this is the wrong way. So a lot of times these girls, they're really dealing with a lot of things that they don't feel that everybody else is dealing with, so they don't talk about it. So once they say it in like a group setting or once they're talking, I'm like, yeah, you know, okay, let's talk through this. Now they don't feel so alienated in their issues. And so they're able to open up and kind of feel supported going through the whole situation. So I think it really is a big thing.
All right. And so you got 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, do we have a max capacity of girls that you deal with at a time? Or like, you know, what are you?
How many girls are you talking about? No, not at all. Because there's sometimes where I'll have a year where I have like over 50 girls and they're coming and they're with it and they're excited and they're happy and they're all a part of it. And then sometimes I have a meeting that has 8 girls, you know, so I don't, because I love on all my kids. So I don't have a mass capacity. And whenever, if let's say someone heard about it after one friend went to a meeting and they told their friend about it, I'm like, oh yeah, bring your friend. And so let's get it started. Let's get everybody involved, because I just believe in planting seeds. So as many girls as I can get, I would love to.
All right. And you got started 9 years ago, man. You said because of, you know, you had some mentorship, but like, you know, what has that really meant for you? Like to go from mentee to mentor. So how did that transition happen? Why did it happen? You know, like, so was there a why? So what
happened? Well, I definitely was not, as the person that I am today is not the person that I was. So I always tell myself that I want to be the person that I wanted growing up. So I did not have that person. And so I kind of just did a lot of things because I was leading and guiding myself when it came to decisions as a teen. And I did not have a close relationship with my parents. So I did not tell them the things that I was going through. So I always wanted someone that I could relate to, that did not judge me, and that I could have a conversation with. And for me, at this age and the place that I'm in, I believe in just being a light in a dark place. And so that is all that I want to do with my mentorship, is that I just offer some type of encouragement, something to make a person feel that they're not alone. So that's why it means so much to me, because that's my main thing. Cause I have like an open door policy. I have snacks just for them, so they know, like, they could come get whatever they like, you know? So that's just something that's really big for me, because I've always wanted to have that safe space. And so I just always want to be a safe space.
All right. And so I always give people the opportunity to promote their shop. So tell the people under the sound of our voice, how can they get in contact with you? They have a young lady or a baby girl. Baby girls, they're always baby girls for me. They need to get involved. Tell them, you know, how they can contact you.
They can contact me via email. It's my first name, nathalie.viasinvictoriu@ymail.com. And they could just get with me and say, hey, how do I get this? If I can't figure it out for them, I'll find somebody who can, and I'll get them linked up with any kind of resources that they need.
All right. So you got Diva Girls have a social media, Facebook, IG. What are we working with here?
At this time, no, we do not. We do not have that social media component. But if you email me, I got you. I can send you everything you need when it comes to the Diva Girls.
Diva Girls, we gotta get you on social media, man. That's the, you know, you gotta dump me. You know, that's where all the kids are. You know, so you gotta go where the babies are. The babies are on social media. They shouldn't be, but
listen. Maybe that's why I didn't do it.
Yeah, you know, it needs some positive affirmations on social media for themselves. I mean, I think, let's talk about that for a second. You know, what positive affirmations? I feel like that. I've started to do that with my girls, and I've seen the effects of it. So, is that part of what you do? Like, you know, how does that play into your role? As mentor for your mentees?
Yes. So in the beginning, our first assignment is that we write a letter to ourselves to find out the things that we want to change and who we are right now. Like, if you're addressing this letter, who would you identify yourself to be? And then we're going to talk about who we want to be. And so affirmations and self-talk is super important. I always talk about, you know, when they have a negative thought, to go ahead and flip it for, let's talk about 3 different positive thoughts every time you have one. And sometimes they call me corny, but on Fridays I give them a little card with their name, and I'll have like a special little quote that I felt like placed on my heart was for them. And so I'll give them that. And so I feel that words are super powerful, and I always tell them about repeating these things to themselves. I give them different techniques and ideas of, like, I give each of the girls like little bags that has like sticky notes, so that they can write sticky notes to themselves and put it on their mirror in the morning, because I want them to remind themselves every day who they are and how they feel about themselves, so they don't allow, you know, the world to dictate how they feel or who they are.
I agree. I mean, that's I feel like this, like people in general spend a lot of time trying to figure out who they are. But you know, kind of finding the identity of themselves is something I found really helpful. Either my girls are little, they only got like 8 and 7. Giving them, you know, their identity is a big portion of what, you know, I feel like I should be doing as a father. Mm. We'll talk about that another time. So talk about because we're here to talk about you and Diva Girls and give me some of the most out of the 9 years, some most impactful stories that you got. Like, you know, so you got some returners. There's 20 now. That means they're in college, about to graduate college, and then you got, you know, some people in the middle, some people that, you know, that, you know, we tried to save and, you know, that we didn't quite get there. So talk to me about some of those stories, those impactful stories that you have.
Oh, I could do a quick one. Actually, these are twins. So here's the funny story. I have twin girls that turned 20, and there were two of the most opposite people. So one of them, she was both girls. So one of them, I just knew, like, okay, nothing that I would say was penetrating. Like, I just felt like, okay, at this point, I could just only love you. Like, okay, well, you know, I don't think that's the right decision, but okay. You know, as, you know, we got through, like, the other one used to be on my hip. And I'm like, you know what, this one right here, she's taking everything that I'm saying to her. We're moving and shaking. Once they reach 18, it's like they flipped. The one that was on my hip listens to nothing that I say. And the one that wasn't listening, like, she called me. She was in her college advisor room, and she called me and was like, hey, Miss B, I need you to go ahead and listen to these classes. Is this correct? Do I need this? Do I need that? And I'm like, okay, so let's walk through. So, like, with her, she's eating up everything I'm giving her, and it's like, maybe at 18 she realized that maybe I knew a little bit of what I was talking about. So she's, you know, I'm feeding her spirit. But the other one, you know, I love her, you know, I had to switch it up a bit, and she's living her life her way. So, you know, those are some of the stories that, you know, with these kids, it's like, it's, I was just telling somebody the other day, I'm like, the best lesson I ever learned was that if I stress myself out trying to make sure that every seed I planted, I was able to water it and I was able to watch it grow, I will lose all the hair on my head, because a lot of times we're not going to do all three. Sometimes we're just going to plant something, and there's someone else that's going to water and someone else that'll watch it grow. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I've kept with me on this journey, is that I can only plant seeds. And if it does not go the way that it should, you know, I just love them through it. I'll be there and available. But, you know, sometimes people just got to go through life their way.
My life is full of those people. So I have a life full of people that that feel like they got to do it their way. They don't want to do it the way that, you know, that's acceptable to society. They want to break the law. They want to break rules. They want to rebel. You know, part of some of it because they can't really, you know, just live with themselves,
right?
You know, and that's kind of, they have to have, you know, there's some guilt or some other thing they have to deal with, whatever's going on with them.
Right.
They just won't do right, and so there's a consequence to that. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it, because I mean, I think about a big part of, you know, so mentorship is a big thing about what I do. So I've mentored kids from basically all my whole life, but, you know, formerly from high school going all the way through until now. And what I found, I was like, everything's gonna be all right. You know, everything's gonna be,
yeah.
Yeah, everything's gonna be all right. That's kind of how I started. But I had to start realizing, like, I have to tell people, like, no, this is not going to be all right. Like, there's got to be some consequences to, like, what's going to happen here. And then start talking to them about, hey, you know, this is going to be the choice you're going to make. But, you know, there's going to be some things that follow up from that. So I don't know. Talk to me about, have you made that transition in your mentorship life about from, you know, kind of telling everybody it's going to be all right into, like, hey, no. There's some things where I'll be out there. Yeah. So tell me, how did you deal with that, and how did you go along dealing with that?
That's funny that you said that, because one of the phrases that I always tell them is like, life goes on. So I started off saying that, and then like I realized that everybody does not deal with situations like I do, because like in my head I'm like, okay, I'm still alive, like let's keep it pushing. So you know, but they were dealing with things differently, and so I had to, okay. And so I even have a conversation with kids and I'm like, you know what, I did say this, well let's circle back and let's talk about this part. And so things do happen, consequences do occur, and it's not always just life goes on, because we have to deal with situations. And then that's when, you know, you kind of realize things about yourself. And I realized like, dang, I might've been like pushing things to the side for a long time, not really dealing with it, because I kind of just said, oh, okay, it kept pushing. So dealing with these kids, honestly, you get to know who you are when you deal with kids, because they tell you the truth. if you want to know what you look like today, they'll tell you. And that goes for internally as well. They are very good at telling you what it is. So,
all right. So I know that you got to go, and that you got to run, and we'll continue to save the world one little baby at a time. So thank you again for Diva Girls. Everybody's looking forward to emailing you and letting them know. What they can do next for their baby girls.
Okay, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
All right, have a good one. All right, Mr. Bryce, we get back to you real quick. It's been Mario Kart. one of the next steps, like, so talk a little bit about, because I wanted to get with you a little again, because a big part of what's not like what you do is mentorship at the end of the day at Positive Pathways. And so how does that work for you? How does that like play out in your kind of day-to-day operations here at the school?
That's every day. We're going to do that every day. It's do the mentorship process, because these kids don't have an opportunity to do that. They don't have anybody that cares, that's concerned with them, that's going to put that time in. So that's a daily thing. And we all growing up, I don't know if anybody ever heard, but they did, is raising the whole child. The education portion of it is important. The mentorship portion of it is important. And for them, getting that connection and talking to someone is very important to them, because we don't know how many of these kids go home at night and they don't see anybody, they don't talk to anybody, and they're just sitting in their room. And them to connect with something is a want to, and them being there. So that's huge, and that's a huge part of it.
Yeah. So because one of the story things that happened that we kind of talked about at the end of our day earlier when I was at the school was kids don't want to leave. And so they try to find a way to get in trouble, to get resuspended, to stay. So talk to them about because that's the reason why they don't want to leave. So, kind of talk to them.
We've noticed is, I said earlier, was students basically come there and they want to basically belong, feel like they're belonging, feel like they are there. And with them saying that, they get to the point, they get to that end, and they know that we care about them. They know that we are concerned about them. And I try to greet every kid as they're leaving and exiting and putting them off and letting that little bird fly away out of the nest and going, hey, I'm sending you back and you're going to be okay. These are the things I need you to do to be okay. And funny enough, they care and they go like, listen, see you in a couple weeks, because I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do to come back. And we're like, no, good. So, and we also have them when they know their exit date, and with them knowing their exit date, they basically go, hey, listen, I know I exit on the 14th, but I'm going to go ahead, and they tell us, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get in trouble for you to extend my time here, because I enjoy what you guys offer is the structure. And what you do with that structure is you also teach me that you care about me. And if you ask the number of kids that we have here, they have that relationship with those other staff members. here that builds them up so that they can be a little bit better than when we got them.
Yeah. And I think it's such an understated thing about that, about having someone to talk to.
Yeah.
But I think there's, as adults, it's something that we don't appreciate as much as we should. And I think that, you know, just like, especially like, I guess, like, you know, I don't have teenagers yet, but from what everybody tells me, you know, they kind of, you know, they want to go their own route and, you know, kind of separate themselves from you and, you know, start trying to, the independence thing of, you know, everybody was invincible at 14. But you still got to have, you know, somebody to talk to, somebody to chat with, somebody to
hold them accountable.
Holding people accountable. I think there's a negative connotation with that sometimes. Like, you know, being accountable means that, like, you know, I want to punish you and all sorts of that. I'm like, no, I never took, especially like the older I got, when my dad would discipline me about something, I didn't take it as, you know, as he was punishing me because, like, he just wanted to punish me. Like, it was punishing me because, like, hey, you realize you need to, you know, there's a consequence to what's going on, and you have to be accountable going forward. And that's right. That's what carried me through every part of, you know, later on in my life. That's like, you know, there's no way I could have got to the level of playing a football or I have an opportunity to play in the National Football League without having that discipline that was instilled with me way back when, because, you know, you have to be accountable when you're out there by yourself on the field, you know, yeah. When you're out there training by yourself and like you're out there running and you know, doing drills and all kinds of stuff like that, doing all that extra stuff by yourself. You got to be, you got to be accountable so right. You can get to that level. And, right. You know, having somebody to kind of talk to you about that is, I think, something that's missing.
Yes.
Well, something that's missing in too many of our children's lives, yeah. You know, when it comes to, and sometimes some of it's parenting, some of it is community, you know, and, you know, being able to reach, you know, these kids and to, you know, make that change. And so I'm really looking forward to continued work,
yes,
in positive ways,
absolutely, and
our continued, you know, mission to not only just educate our children in a way that's going to, you know, help them be successful, but also giving them every tool and opportunity to think about. I actually thought about something that I don't want to talk to you about. So also, we were talking about our other kid, our brother Noah. We should also think about, you know, for him, if we can reach him or get in contact, make sure we go. I don't know if he's coming back, but whatever he's doing. I have an Access to Pathways program through Career Source that I think can help him, because I think he really lacks soft skills. From what, you know, like, I don't know him that well, but I can tell he probably lacks those little soft skills that we can probably get him a job and train him to do something, but he may not be able to keep it because he's not going to be able to function properly. So we have a program called Access to Pathways that is on a kind of rotating basis with Career Source, that I think that can really help him, you know, prepare him to go to Youth Build or to OCPS, to technical school and things like that. And so we can, you know, make sure that we are, you know, giving him the tools he needs to be successful as well.
And we got 5 Noahs. Just put it out there.
The Noah we're talking about.
Yeah, it's the Noahs that you're talking about. We got 5 of those. And you get to a point where you get frustrated because you know that setting of them going back to that school is not going to be successful then. So you have to come up with alternatives and alternative routes for them to get to that zone. So these points of what you're naming is absolutely on point for him to be helping those type of kids in those type of conversations. And those are the kids. And crazy enough, those are the kids you want to help and you come up with these ideas, and then there's other ones that come behind them. So that is actually a good, great thing there. So I'll actually use those kind of things for to be able to help them.
All right. I appreciate you. Thank you, Principal Brian, for jumping on.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're running down to the last wire second here on the show. We'll have another great show for you after Thanksgiving, about a little replay next week. But just wanted to give you that little bit of encouragement. Hey, it's okay to ask for help. That's my motivational minute or 10 seconds of today. It's okay to seek out help, ask for help. You don't have to do anything alone. You don't have to go it alone. It's so much easier to go together or with a group. So I want to make sure you take that with you, because that's a big part of what we just talked about all throughout the show today. It's okay to ask for help and not go it alone. So I hope you all do well, and I'll see you all next week.
You've been listening to Community Conversations with State Attorney Bain. Join us again next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. for another episode. Looking for real talk on the criminal justice system and how we can work together to make our communities safer? Tune in to Community Conversations with State Attorney Bain every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Join State Attorney Andrew Bain as he interviews community leaders and activists, diving into the topics that matter most in Orange and Osceola counties. Get insights, stay informed, and be part of the conversation.